to another episode of That One Time with me and Toby Nix.
All right.
And today we are speaking with Mean Pove.
Mean Pove. Oh, really? Mean Pove. Right off the bat.
And for you who may not know who Mean Pove is, Toby, why don't you introduce
me? So this is my wife, Pove, and she has been here since 1982 from Cambodia, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So everyone who knows her knows how shy she is. This will be a treat. I think no one would ever believe she would do a podcast.
Yes,
so.
I'm here.
Well, right on. Well, before we get started, I just want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Ace Beer Growlers, who we frequent quite a bit, and especially during the holiday season. I think I've got a gift card coming from my mom for some bucks over there.
I'm actually going as soon as we leave here. Yeah. Her family from Houston's in town. They're coming over tomorrow night. Oh. So he has something I want them to try.
What's that?
Kentucky bourbon barrel ale.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you love that.
Yeah.
Everybody's got it.
Yep. So yeah. I think her family will enjoy trying that out tomorrow night.
For sure.
Yes.
This year we usually make Chex Mix for holiday snacks and stuff like that. And this year I tried doing it on a Traeger grill
I'm starting to get more and more intrigued by the Traeger grill.
It's fascinating.
Makes
me feel confident.
Maybe taxes will do us right, and we can get a Traeger.
But anyway, so today I think we're just gonna do a very great podcast about post trip here. You can want to set it up a little bit.
Okay, so Pove was born in 75,
yes.
In Cambodia. And then, of course, the communists took over, and I think they killed 4 to 5 million. Yeah. It was a bad deal. So they came over. They left the country and all that good stuff. But I do the talking enough. I'll interrupt enough. So I'll let you go. I'll let you go ahead and tell your life story, starting from your birth up until every day.
And go.
All right. So you're born in 75.
Yes, and I came few months before I was born.
The Khmer Rouge, the communist, took over the country. So how was it, like, as far as your family? Y'all lived in what's the city you were raised in?
In Battambang, that's where in the country I was from.
So where is that at? The capital is Phnom Penh?
Yeah, Phnom Penh.
So how far is that from the capital city?
That's... I'm saying probably about 5 hours.
So they are, you think Heard County is rural.
We are not urbanized.
But like, you know, like where I'm from, people are poor and don't have cars, so it's a very long walk. If that's why they just stay in the area, you know, it's just too far to travel.
If someone wanted to go to the capital, how would they go? Would they go by bus or would they... horse? Or I mean, how do you get there if
they
you don't
can
have wheels?
They can go by bus, or they can pay somebody to take them over there.
Yeah,
if they know the car, you know, the driver.
Yeah.
So back then, now there's not refrigeration back then. No. Is there refrigeration now?
Some.
So they don't have refrigeration.
Yeah. It's still like if you have money, if family have money to send back to Cambodia, they can get, you know, like refrigerator if they want.
Yeah.
You know, they start to have like electricity over there.
Wow.
And then like taking a shower, you have to like use the water from the barrel and just like bathe yourself like that still.
Okay.
Yeah, unless you have money, then you can build yourself a nicer home.
Yeah,
I should also say close to the beginning that Pove and I both got a cold for Christmas. So her voice is maybe a little bit
rough.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better than she is, I think, but we're going to rough through this. So I was going to ask you something. So family life and when you're, you know, ages 1 to 5, y'all have how much land, do you know?
My dad, I have a few, like a rice field that he worked to get like rice to feed the family, just enough to feed the family, you know. And we live, you know, like okay, we wasn't rich, you know, or like too poor, you know. But
yeah,
because they're there if you have food and a house.
You got food and house. You're
yeah,
right. Yeah, especially that time.
Yeah.
Well, how many family members were kind of working the farm? Do you remember at the time?
My brother would help him, you know.
Yeah.
And sister, because they're still young, but they go out and help.
Yeah.
And my mom.
So there's no Monday through Friday 8 to 5 where somebody's getting up and going to the job or whatever.
Well, it's like a routine. You have to get up, or you know, like you just don't have nothing to eat. You have to go out and work.
Yeah,
yeah. You do every day.
Yeah,
I guess it's like 100% sustenance.
Morning to eat. Yeah. Yes, every day.
Eating's a great motivator.
Absolutely.
But it's like people so used to, you know, working like their own labor to produce the food they put out there. Oh, yeah. So you have to, you know, go out there and do it, or you don't get no food on the table.
There's really no second option.
That's right.
So you're born under the communist, I guess, occupation.
It just started, I think.
Yeah.
It started, when the Khmer Rouge come in, and they just took over, and people that are able to work, I mean, like, they you know, kill the people that have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like police
educated,
or teacher, they'll kill you. If you know too much, you know, they'll kill you. But if you're able to work, then you have to go, you know, wake up early in the morning, go work in a field, and come back nighttime.
There's a movie called The Killing Fields, I guess, that is chronicles it well. And I had read a book from some lady who, I think she said, if you were well enough to work, the Khmer Rouge gave you a bowl of rice a day. If you were too sick to work, the Khmer Rouge gave you a half a bowl of rice to eat every day. I mean, and this was a straight concentration camp.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
They were with all the, I don't know about, I should know more, I guess, about how many people were executed or why they were executed, but I do know that I was reading that they would, what did they do? I guess they bashed the skulls in to save money on the bullets. I don't know.
Oh yeah, like find ways like suffocate them in the back and stuff. Yeah. And throw them in the ditch.
Yeah.
Just cruelty. Like they don't care, babies or not.
Oh yeah.
They'll kill anybody. Like if you talk back to them, they'll kill you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance. Well, so can you talk about what led up to, what was the point that led up to the point where y'all needed to get out of town? I mean, what was the breaking point, do you know?
Well, it was like we don't have anywhere to live because they took our, you know, like when the Khmer Rouge came, you know, they took our house, they moved our house to make a ditch, you know, like for everybody to dig a ditch. Like along where we live.
Yeah.
So my dad moved further, and then like they just come over and took over, and my dad had to move to another spot. So it's like keep building another hut to live in. So we don't have any place to live, really. Yeah. We keep moving.
Oh, yeah, that's no way.
So,
So then you, when the family decides to leave Cambodia, is it we're going to America or we're just leaving Cambodia? Like we're just going anywhere from here?
Yes, but just trying to escape to somewhere where we don't, you know, like have some, so we have food and, you know.
Stability.
Yeah.
Hope.
Get help. Yeah.
Yeah. So was Thailand the closest place to find that?
My mom, you know, from hearing somebody say word of mouth, like, oh, in Thailand they have they have somebody that can help. I mean, people that can help us over there. Mm-hmm. So my brother, he had went over there, you know, like, and see what's going on, you know, like, and then come back and told us, okay, let's go over there, you know, because he, what you call it, like, go check it out first.
Yeah.
Scout. So then he came and got us to go with him, and my dad and my sister was, and my brother was came after us.
So the beginning of the trip, it was you, your mom, And they split up.
Yeah. A few of my family.
So were, you, mom, and you were at best five.
No, I was.
Younger than five?
Yeah, I probably was at least, around five.
So you and your mom and some sisters or a couple of family members start walking to Thailand.
Yeah.
So
we have to take some stuff with us, like we don't really have rice, but we take like pot to boil water on the way and stuff, so we'll have something to eat. Which my mom, she don't have no money. She only have like gold on her, but they use that as money, like to give to the guy that, you know, like guide us to Thailand, you know.
Now, did y'all go in one group or did y'all split up to make the trip to Thailand?
We went with other family too.
Okay.
And
but your dad stayed back, or he was not with you originally?
Yeah, he was behind, you know, like came like behind us later on, like with my sister.
How much later? Like weeks or?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I don't think it's that long, but you gotta be careful too, like traveling through the jungle, you know, like there's landmine and stuff. And yeah, you gotta, that's why we have a guy that, you know, that we follow him.
Mm-hmm. I know your sister sent me, I was talking to her a lot for it, and there was at one point, I think the guide actually stopped the line from hitting a landmine. I don't know why, he knew one was up ahead or what. I was like, we're going this way. And they had another point. Oh, now I guess before this, you had a sibling die of starvation. Your grandma.
My grandmother died of starvation, and my older brother, he died too, cause you know, like Khmer Rouge don't give us any food.
No.
And like my mom, after she had me, if she able to work, then she go out there to work and leave the kids at home, which my sister was probably not old enough yet. I'm sure like she was probably around nine or something. She had to watch me at the house. So it's like when she get old enough, she had to go too. So I have nobody to watch me. My brother and I, like what? Maybe a couple years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, you just stay at the house, or like, that's why my grandmother was watching me, and then she passed away of starvation, so she couldn't.
So all the food that you're making is not going to y'all?
No, they took all the rice and all the fruit trees and cut it down and stuff.
Imagine if y'all had any food, that would be.
I know that book I read. They were talking, it was written by a lady, and I can't remember. I read it years ago, but they're digging up like roots of trees for nutrition, stuff like that. Like, I mean, it was just anything that I guess would go in your stomach.
Yeah.
My older sister, it's just she was hungry, so she was like waiting for the mango tree to produce the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the fruit come out, it's like she can't wait, you know. She ended up eating like when it first started to develop, you know. So
I kind of guess backtrack a little bit. So y'all are on your way to Thailand, and you got the guide, and it's your mom and a couple of siblings on the way there. And that was you make it to across the Thailand border, and the American Red Cross is there.
This Thailand guard that's over there, if they see you, they're gonna shoot you. And that's why we like try to wait till nighttime to go. And nighttime is like a few people working, so they couldn't see, you know, like a bunch of us start running across, whatever.
Yeah.
And like I say, if they see, they will shoot you.
Really?
And yeah, we have to dodge the bullet, like just ran.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, though, if I remember correctly, you're not doing so great at this point. I mean,
No, I was like, yeah, I was malnutrition. And I was like an Ethiopian kid.
Yeah.
Like big belly and stuff. So.
Well, it was, I mean, they, as soon as you made it to the American Red Cross, they sent you and your mom to a medical tent.
Yeah.
And you stayed there for a while.
Yeah, my, the kids, they get treated, you know, like first because of hunger and, you know, like, some of us like have disease and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's a long journey.
And we wouldn't find this out until what, 4 or 5 years ago. But her, you know, she's got a lot of lung problems stem back from the malnutrition, and I think you almost drowned at some point.
The environment, you know, it's like.
Well, yeah. I mean, it, even in the best conditions and circumstances, that's not an easy trip to make on foot through Cambodia into Thailand, going through jungles and all that. Yeah. I mean. Even with all the resources, that's still not going to be a fun adventure.
No, it's a, she's dealing with lung stuff now. I mean, she'll deal with it for the rest of her life.
And some of the people that's at the camp, like, you know, got what the landmine hit them and stuff, and they got to get help over there and stuff. Wow. You know?
So did y'all see quite a few families that had done the same thing while you were at the Red Cross?
Yes, there's a lot of refugees that's over there.
Yeah.
So it was like 3 camps we had to go through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, like get us back to being well and stuff. So then we moved to a different camp, and they would feed us and give us a place to stay. So,
right. So your father was right along behind y'all? Pretty soon?
Yes, they came and meet us at the camp.
So what would have been the penalty if they had caught y'all trying to leave the country? It would have been pretty severe.
Oh, yes. They'll kill us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have a relative that, what, my mother's sister's, her son, you know, went with a friend through the jungle, and, you know, it's like she never heard from him because he probably ended up dead or something.
Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, if it's not someone catching you in the jungle, it's something else that's probably...
Well, and then I know your sister...
People kill you for money and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Her sister, she was close to dying, you know what I'm saying? Like, when by the time she made it, I don't think she had much left. One of her older sisters gave me a lot of information for this, and for, I think I wrote an article... maybe last year or two, and so I got a lot of the information because she, I want to say you probably rode piggyback on her back, or she carried you.
Yeah, they helped carry me, and my mom's like, just, I don't know how she do it. It's like she don't have the energy to.
So, and then the things I've seen, like you can watch YouTube videos or whatever. I guess the best way to describe it would be like tent cities almost, you know, on the Thailand border. Or and then so the American Red Cross is there, and now I'm confused as to how you had to be sponsored over to America.
Yeah, it's church group over here that sponsor us, because they heard of, you know, a lot of people needed help.
So like, because one brother went from there to Australia, and then I think you have a sister go to California.
Yeah.
So you're just going wherever.
Well,
like if you get split up, you just get split up.
Yeah, I guess like they you know, just get enough people from the like group to come to the U.S. So then my brother, he just got split up. It's a form you have to fill and test. My mom had to. You know, take a test like every once in a while to pass it so she could, you know, be able to come to the U.S.
Okay.
You know, they ask questions about family and stuff. And my sister, she told me that she, you know, like failed a lot of the tests because it's, I guess, so much, you know, like she had to think about and stuff.
How old would your parents have been? They were probably pushing 60 at that point, right? 50, late 50s?
Might be, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were, I'm trying to, I don't know, I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, at least in their 50s, trying to, you know, leaving leaving their country.
Well, how long were y'all in Thailand before?
We were in three different camps over there. They were trying to get us ready to get well enough. And then...
probably make sure you're up to date because you got the circle
vaccination, whatever. Yeah, we get shots and stuff too over there. It's like the UN that helped us over there.
And I think you... I think to answer the question, I think you were in Thailand 2 years-ish?
I'm thinking just about, yeah.
Because if you leave Cambodia in 1980 and you get here in 82...
We went to Philippines too.
Okay.
We went to Philippines so they can get us ready for America, like teach us how to learn the American way of like the living. Like when we get here, we won't be confused, you know, like
that's
using
a huge
the bathroom.
Teach you how to honk your horn as soon as the light turns red.
I mean,
everything you knew about blinkers.
Yes, I mean, like a whole different world.
That would have been insane, yeah.
Because we don't have the, up to date stuff. Like, we don't have a phone over there.
You don't have refrigeration.
In the country I'm talking about, it's like we don't know how to use all that stuff.
Even Heard County would be all right.
I know, no kidding. That should have been like the gateway to America. Cut through, stay in Heard County for 6 months.
Just get your sea legs, you know. Well, this quick question, I don't know if you know or not. Do you remember if your guide was Cambodian or was he from Thailand? I mean, the person that takes y'all across, do you think? They call them coyotes now and you know, from Mexico to here. But it's the same principle. I just didn't know if he was a citizen of Cambodia, if he was from Thailand.
That's a dangerous job. Cambodian.
So I guess he drops you off and then goes back and gets... I mean, I guess I know he's making his living. Like, I mean, y'all are paying him to...
I mean, like, you have to be able to trust him, you know?
Yeah.
Or he could have killed all of us.
He picked the wrong one and he just takes your money and...
Yeah.
Or he could be part of the Khmer Rouge.
Right. Right.
And how many people did that happen to? You know what I'm saying? Like, probably more than you could count.
I mean, you know, my mom, she has some gold on her and he would know that, you know, like... So I'm sure...
Kudos to him.
Yeah, no kidding. They lucked up on that one. In a world of unluckiness, they at least got a guide that got you to Thailand.
Yeah.
So you got here in America, 1982 about, you think?
Yeah.
And did you come straight to Georgia or did you make any stops along the way?
I'm not sure, but there's people, my sister was saying, like, had to stop there and they get off there. Mm-hmm. So, like, probably in California or something, you know?
You grew up in East Point,
Georgetown, Park.
Yeah, College Park.
So,
A lot of refugees stay in College Park, Georgetown, apartments over there in College Park.
So y'all weren't just the only ones. That's cool.
There were Vietnamese, Laos, so it's like, you know, all of us in the area.
Mm-hmm. So y'all kind of built your own little support.
Yeah, network. But then like all us Asian have to walk everywhere because we don't have vehicles.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So we're used to walking in a way. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You came from
a long line of walkers.
You know, like that thrift store in East Point.
Yeah.
We walk all the way over there to the healthcare.
Wow.
Like, how long is that?
That's
5 miles
at least 5 miles. Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with East Point or not, but from Georgetown Apartments to I guess it'd been like the kind of the Main Street thrift store or whatever.
It's I remember that thrift store.
Yeah, in the city.
It's good stuff.
Of College Park.
Yeah. We found some cool stuff there.
My dad used to take us to that thrift store. We might have saw y'all.
Wow, that is a long walk.
Yeah.
You're right.
It is.
Yeah, man. And so once you're in America, you're feeling
yes,
a
it's
lot
just the free. You know.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling, you know. It's like you, what do you call it? Like you treasure it, you know.
Yeah. Did your family talk much about it growing up when you were a kid? About.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Okay, it wasn't something we just forgot about.
No, they would tell what they've gone through and what happened.
hold that over your head in case you were
acting.
We brought you all the way over here.
Yeah.
And this is how you treat
it. It takes away the whole every mom is like, I was in labor for 8 hours. Oh, like, no.
Nah, carried you across a mountain.
Exactly.
Oh. Or around
unreal,
mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like I forgot to mention, like when we walked to the Thai border, you know, it's like a couple hours from, you know, the from where I live in Guatemala. And it's, well, maybe 2 days and two nights had to walk through that jungle, you know.
Okay, especially at night. Walking through a jungle at
night. Unbelievable, yeah.
Come on.
Now she doesn't even want to go shut the chickens up. At, if it's
how
after
far
dark.
We come. Like, I've done that. It's not mine anymore. I bequeath it to you. Well, how did y'all meet initially?
Well, so we met at Buffington Road Christian Church, which is in College Park, and they had a Cambodian ministry there.
Okay.
So they had English Oaks apartment. They had a couple of different church vans, and they'd go around and pick up the kids. So you were one of the first ones to come, right?
Yeah, it was like a couple of girls. Yeah.
So
your brother worked there, right?
Yeah. Well, to my Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he ended up being like, I guess, like a.
He drove the bus to go pick up.
Well, yeah, that was. I mean, that was as he when he was younger. But I mean, he ended up being like, he preached the Cambodian side of the service or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it ended up being, man, we'd spend, I guess my high school years, we'd go to church Sunday morning, and then everybody would just stay there, and you'd play football, or they had different games. And then you stayed there for the evening service. So that was what you did on Sunday,
okay.
was just hang at the church. And they had a game where, I don't know how you, I guess, you know, just creativity or whatever, but you remember the milk jugs?
Yeah.
They would just cut circles out of milk jugs and stick some feathers in. And it was like a hacky sack, but it was better than a hacky sack because it actually bounced when you kick it. I can't describe it. I'd have to,
that's Asian creative.
It was funny. You stood in a circle and kicked this hacky sack, for lack of a better term. And then there was another one with the rubber bands where
they would jump over.
They would tie these rubber bands together, and you would just run and jump. But the height that they could get, you'd have to see it almost to believe. But that's how we spent Sunday. So it was at Buffington Road, and
that sounds like a lot of fun. Oh,
man,
honestly,
I had the best childhood.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 80s in Union City, man. You
just
couldn't
make your own game.
That's it.
Well, if nobody has money,
ways.
Then nobody's poor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if no one's driving in a nice car, then
you're
even
not
playing
at
field.
The other person,
right,
like,
right.
What do you have? What do you have? I mean, you're in the moment.
So I knew her actually, I guess, I knew that you always sat with the other two, you know, like on that pew. I don't know.
Yeah,
I had seen you. And then, I was like, man, she's kind of pretty. So I worked my magic on her. my 11th grade nerdiness. But our first date was my junior prom. I went to Creekside.
Oh,
yeah, she went to Tri-Cities.
Okay.
So we went to my Creekside's junior prom, and the rest is history.
Yep,
right?
That's it.
So that was, so that would have been 93-ish, 93, because I graduated in 94.
Okay.
But it was Buffington Road, and in fact, the church is no longer there, unfortunately. But I think that it has moved over like Lester Road Christian Church or something like that. And I would dare say there's probably still some Cambodians that go there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking some of the, because I still get like friends with them all on Facebook.
Yeah.
A lot of them, and I see that they're at least there for homecoming, which we should probably go to sometime. But yeah.
Well, how was high school for you? I mean, had you gotten acclimated since, I mean, coming here in 82, by the time you got in high school, it'd probably be about, what, early 90s, late
80s?
Yeah, so you went to, what'd you go, Woodland? I know you went to Tri-Cities High, but what was the middle?
Woodland Middle School.
Woodland Middle.
Okay.
Yeah. It's different than, you know, over here. I don't know what to say.
She didn't like school, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
What? It was fine. It was like I didn't have like a Cambodian friend. All my Cambodian friends like go to what is it, Clayton County High School,
yeah, okay.
And all that. Majority of my Cambodian friends.
Okay.
So I was like kind of more, you know, like
a loner. Like
you just got school done with.
Well, and then you were in the art, like, you know how Fulton County has magnet schools, and Tri-Cities was art. Right.
Yeah.
So she was in the art magnet where
okay.
they kind of try to, I guess.
Well, my parents still live on the other side of town, so
yeah,
you know, that's why I was like still in College Park. My other Cambodian people, like, they move towards Clay County.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fine. High school.
Yeah, that's about my high school. Okay, so y'all get married and all that good stuff. So tell me, when did you finally get the opportunity to go back?
My sister, she want me to go see how Cambodia is, and knowing that I don't remember anything about Cambodia. So she paid for my plane ticket to go, and she wanted my brother to go too, but he didn't get to go.
So this was 2 years ago, Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So you left the day after Christmas?
Yeah.
And you had the flu then.
Like, I did.
Her and I both had the flu that Christmas.
It's awful.
Oh, man.
So I think there was a mix-up with your older brother's paperwork. Is
why Australia?
No.
Well, he was supposed to go, and he ended up not going, but the brother here, one of the brothers here, was going to go. And there's a mix-up with paperwork. That
he didn't have the paperwork that he's supposed to
have. I think they
have.
Could guarantee that he could get there, but couldn't guarantee he could get back.
Yeah, we don't want that trouble, so we told him that, you know, just to not, well, he couldn't go forward anyway, you know.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, you go back for the first time since 1980.
Yeah.
And you got three sisters over there.
Yes, and two of my sisters came to pick me up from the airport, and they got a driver, you know, paid a driver to get us back to the village. And my sister that brought me to Cambodia, she went to her husband's family, you know, in the city. So she stayed there, and I go back with my two sisters from Cambodia back to the country. And I was scared to death because I didn't know what I was going into.
And so you arrived with, you ended up being separated from the American sisters.
Yeah.
So you're how well do you speak the language? I know you speak it broken, but
it was kind of broken.
Could you communicate?
Yeah, I talk fine, and they ask me questions and stuff, and I was like nervous still, you know, because I don't know the driver. And
how many hours did it take to get to the village?
It was at least 5 hours. I had to ride.
Coming over the flu.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, believe me or not, like, as soon as I got into Cambodia, I was fine. I was sick going to, you know, like, I was in Texas. I was sick, and soon as I got on the airplane, I didn't feel good either. But when I got off,
you're just relieved to finally be on ground. Your body said, "Look, fine, yeah,
we're good." On the way there, you hit from Atlanta to Texas, Texas to California, and then California.
Texas to we China go to Dallas, Japan? And then to LA, and then to China,
and then from
then
China.
Cambodia.
Okay, and on the way back, you hit Japan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Japan.
She said one leg of it. I guess the longest leg. I don't know how many hours it was, but she described it as being in the back seat of an extended cab, not a four-door truck, but an extended cab truck.
Yeah,
I don't think I could ever go.
Could you sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
I'd rather go to sleep.
That's all I could think.
I don't think I could.
We could watch a movie, but there's so many movies that you can watch, you know.
So what's the first thing that your sisters who have never been out of Cambodia ask? Like, is there one question everybody wants to know about America?
Well, she just asked, like, do you have a house?
Do you have shelter?
Do you have a car? Yeah. You know? And that's what they asked.
And she told me she felt safer walking around the village at night over there than she would walking around here somewhere. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My sister, she would walk like early in the morning to come see me, you know, at my other sister's house.
So they live how many miles apart?
Well, maybe, I say maybe 2 miles,
oh,
maybe.
That's
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to walking in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so your sisters at this point are probably pushing 70, huh? Or 60? Mid-60s?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So.
They are.
She's got.
I got older.
She's got a nephew who's older than her. You know, just the way because she was the baby
in
the family.
Youngest, so.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then you would. So you're a day in Cambodia. You wake up, go get food. Like,
yeah, there's food up the street. You just walk there. Like, it's a 5-minute walk up the street to pick up your breakfast.
It's like a street vendor type deal.
Yeah, and they have lunch too, up there. They sell stuff all day. You know, up the road. They know people drive by and they get hungry. They stop and
she took
get a
her
snack or something.
Or not she. I guess the American family took the Cambodian family out for pizza and they had never had pizza before and they didn't like it.
Oh, I bet not.
They're not used to the cheese. Yeah, you know, we don't eat cheese.
No,
over
I guess not.
Yeah.
Well, when you were in America, did y'all still? I would imagine still cook authentic Cambodian food.
Yes.
So when you got back there, it wasn't like a little different, or was it pretty much just as
ate
at
home? It's the
same. Okay, well, that's cool. So you know you're getting the real thing.
Man, yeah, the food tastes good.
Picture I posted the other day, Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve,
we were at her sister's in Sonoy's house, and I'm telling you, it's the best food. It's just amazing. So I would probably be the fattest person in Cambodia.
So you go and you get your breakfast, and what do you kind of spend your days doing when you're back over there?
Well, just like we would talk and go venture out, you know, look at the rice field and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, it's nothing really over there. We went, there's a temple close by, you know, that we walk about 5 minutes away.
So Cambodia is a Buddhist country.
Oh, yeah. It's like kind of like over here. It's church everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So over there, everywhere you go is temple.
Okay.
Everywhere. And the temple, that's where the Khmer Rouge used to, like, capture people and put them there.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to go see Angkor Wat, which is the temple on the flag, which I would love to. Is it one of the, is it one of the ancient wonders of the world or something? It's a significant building in world history. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got to see that, which I would love to see.
That's beautiful. I mean, you have to dress appropriate, you know, like you can't just wear shorts.
Yeah.
I think didn't one of your nieces get?
Yeah, she wore her shorts.
Which they weren't like.
Supposed to wear like pants.
But I think they stopped her. And I guess she had to put on something else or something.
Yeah,
like it wasn't anything inappropriate, but
to cover her legs.
All right.
And then what was it, the story where another niece, she didn't look Cambodian, so they made her speak Cambodian?
Oh, yeah. They, like, on the way, you know, to the Angkor Wat, like, the police on the side of the road would get in our bus and ask us questions to see if we're truly Cambodian, you know.
So it's free of charge if you're Cambodian, right?
Yeah.
That's
why they
not.
Check and see, you know.
So the one niece had that.
She looked mixed, so they asked her to speak Cambodian, and she speaks. So
she passed the test.
She passed the test. That's how you do it. Or Toby could pass it to if he speaks Cambodian.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
I can rattle off a couple of food dishes, maybe.
I doubt it.
Then so you also went to... What, you went to the Philippines for a day, or?
We went to Thailand.
Thailand for a day.
Yeah, we went to visit Thailand. Probably stay 2 nights over there to the beach, Thai beach.
It looked beautiful, the pictures. All the pictures were amazing, just everything. It was like the greens were more green, everything was more everything, you know?
But it's like such a long drive to everywhere. I mean, like, the Thailand is... I'm thinking it's more than 6 hours to drive to Thailand to that beach.
Yeah.
So then we went to back to Cambodia from Thailand. So we went to the beach in Cambodia, and it's like more driving, you know, 6 hours. from. That's why I say, you know, like.
She said she was so scared. I guess they don't follow.
Oh, no.
Oh, right, yeah.
Lanes and stop signs, or I don't know what. Yeah.
We have no stop sign over there. We have no lights.
Oh. All the signs are just suggestions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But then no speed limits, so just watch out for whoever crossing the road.
Just a lot of handles.
Yeah. You know.
My God.
Well, so how long were you over there total?
About 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah, because you can't. I mean, were you in Cambodia for 3 weeks or you were off work? Because... I mean, I know that's probably 2 or 3 days of travel on both ends of the...
Yeah, traveling, like,
that
take a couple of days.
Yeah, that's where the bulk of your time is probably just going somewhere.
Yeah, and then, like I say, I was in the country for, like, seemed like a week, and then my sister came and meet me. So we travel from there on, you know. It's like we stay at a hotel. We could stay the night at my sister's house. But I want to get washed off, you know. It's I say enough. I need to get clean, so I'd rather go to the hotel. Yeah.
So they tell about the, is it every time someone dies or every time someone's born, like with the music in the villages?
Yeah, it's like what is that thing? Oh, it's like it's so loud.
Like a siren, like I guess the way we have the tornado
like a
siren.
Address,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, it's like. It's the whole village could hear it. So it's like a funeral, a wedding. It comes on. Yeah. It's like, it's just about all day, you know?
I guess so. I mean, things do typically happen on a daily basis. So I mean, why like... boring, dying, or getting married.
Yes. It's like funeral again. It's like every day is like funeral.
God, another death.
Yeah.
Wedding
what
is like...
What are people doing?
Yeah.
I thought wedding, they have it on the weekend, but it's like every day somebody's getting married.
Yeah.
And then you had at one stop, I guess probably at all the stops, but you had to like wake up somebody to go outside to use the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, at night. Like, they have an outhouse, so you have to walk around the corner of your house. Mm-hmm. It's like the back of the outhouse is like a rice field, so nothing but rice field out there. So I wouldn't want to go by myself out there in
at
the dark.
Night? Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
I might not come back.
So
that's crazy.
I have to wake my sister up, and then she has to wake her husband up. So they both have to follow us to the outhouse.
Oh my gosh. Well, here's the most important question. How did you fare without her? I mean, it's a long time.
I barely survived. 3 weeks.
I remember correctly.
And I think I documented most of it on Facebook.
Day six.
And what was so cool about her, like that, me kind of documenting all of it, was how happy so many of my friends are who never even met her. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a once-in-a-lifetime trip for her.
Yeah.
And that my friends, like, appreciated that. And, I mean, like, it was, I had posted something like making a birthday cake for Aubrey for whatever, and I had a friend like, oh, it's like she messaged me, do I need to make you a cake, or you know what I'm saying, like, it was that kind of,
you okay, buddy?
Yeah,
we got plenty of help.
It was, but to see how people who had never met her, but you know, social media is cool because you're friends with people that I've got friends, I mean, I say they're friends, but I've never met them, but we keep, you know, click, laugh on whatever and different stuff, so you feel like you know these people, and for them to be so happy that she got to go back home, man, it was awesome. And in fact, I'm getting them now because it was this time of year, the memory is popping up. And so it's cool to relive, because it was, man, I think I put a picture up of you that so her sister that lives in Sonoy would send me pictures. It was kind of hard to get in touch with her for at least the first couple of days, then I guess you had a phone. I don't know how it worked out, but for the first couple of days, I knew was that she was separated from the other sister from
here. I had to change the SIM card too, you know, like into a Cambodian SIM card, because like.
But I would post a picture of her, I mean, and it was like 100 likes in an hour. I mean, just it was really neat that my friends are, you know, or just that people are happy for someone like that.
If I didn't look at my phone or keep up with my phone, Toby would get message from my niece that I go with. Like, they would send him stuff.
Yeah. No, it was, but barely we survived, just barely. We're hanging on by a thread.
It was pretty touching.
I can tell you that the human body can live on ramen noodles for 3 weeks.
Well, looking back now, I mean, if you had the ability to bring back anything on your next trip, What do you think they would want the most from America?
They need money.
Yeah.
Because money could get them through, you know, like, I mean, like, it's hard for them to find jobs. They have to grow their own food. Mm-hmm. But,
Well, they've cut the border. I think this is recently that I guess some of your family would go to work in Thailand.
Yeah.
And but now that they've shut the border.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's not an option. Well,
so yeah, but sending money to them, yeah, they can get stuff. You know, like if you send them money from here, they have like more money in Cambodia, like.
It goes a lot further.
Yeah.
I was talking to her her brother-in-law from Houston Christmas Eve, and we were talking about that over there. And the thing over there that's different that I got from him is they have the upper class and they have the lower class. There's no middle class. Right. You either have it or you don't.
Yep.
And there's a big difference between the two. Where over here, I think all of us are, you know, middle class at some range of the middle class. That's not there. There's no middle class. And they don't trust the, like over there, he was saying like they want an American dollar. They don't want they don't want 100 Cambodian dollars that are equal to, they want the American dollar because they trust that. They don't trust any other form of, or I guess if they have gold, but as far as trusting in something, they trust the American dollar. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it's just, there's no middle class over there.
Yeah.
You have it or you don't. And, and that's.
Yeah. I mean, like when I went, I should have took more money so I can give it to them because I was like, I should have just left some of my stuff for my family. But, you know, I don't think about it until I come back.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
I think it would be... go to, like, Cuba or something like that, and, you know, people bring boxes of pens.
Right.
And the kids, they just go crazy. Like, here you go. Like, right. Oh, my gosh, thank you so much. You just don't think about...
I should have, like, you know, packed kids' clothes, more kids' clothes, and toys for the kids. But it's like... I didn't know, you know, I don't fly that much, so I don't know how much I can put on.
Sure, yeah.
And now how much, if you wake up in the morning and you walk the 5 minutes down the street to get breakfast and you stay around the village, how much money do you spend to eat that day? Like,
probably, might be $2 in American.
For the entire day, or...
For breakfast, might be. I was using like Cambodian dollars to.
And actually,
pay
said
them.
Everything over there is a haggle. Like you don't.
Oh right, you got you. Nothing is set. You
well, the food I pay.
Pretty, okay.
Yeah, but the other stuff.
You got a little back and forth.
They can raise your price. You know, that's why people talk. You know, bargain with them.
Mm-hmm.
But with that too, when I go back, I just. You know, don't want to bargain. You know, I just feel bad. I was like, okay, just.
Well, especially being, you know, for all intents and purposes, an American.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're probably going to.
Well, they assume that.
Oh, yes, they will.
Yeah.
Well, especially in the city. Maybe in the country, you know, in the city, they might have as much money in their pocket as you do. But
yes.
in the country, it might, that dollar would go a lot further.
Yeah. I mean, like, it don't cost that much. But, yeah, like you say, they will hire the price. It's different.
Yeah.
How they want to price it.
Hmm.
So I guess I just feel bad, like, knowing my family don't have money to spend. That's why when my sister go over there, she would buy for all, you know, everybody, like, clothes. If they want clothes, she's like, pick out what you want. Or take the whole family to visit, you know, take them on a bus, all of them, take them to... place, you know, to sightseeing or something. It don't matter how much it costs, she would take them because they don't have a car to go anywhere. They never been to, some of my family never been to Angkor Wat. They live there.
Wow.
Because, it take like, it take like a, for them to walk, you know, like a long time. What,
I mean, I guess without a car, it's like me and you never going to Washington, D.C. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we don't have that kind of time to be away from day to day.
To walk to D.C.
They've never been to the other state or anything.
And like I think you had said earlier, it's difficult to send aid over there, right? Like in the mail, like to send things. Because
I asked one of my friends was going to send, I think, clothes. And I asked your niece, who asked her sister.
That's different. Yeah.
Yeah, they said that it wouldn't make it to its intended person.
It's just not what you call.
I guess anything in a box that is going to be opened before.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Like when I have my suitcase, my brother would say, you know, put a certain lock on there where they can't get through, but they will check your bag for you.
So what do you like to, if you went over there again, what would you like to bring back to America? Is there anything over there that you think you just would want to have over here? I mean, aside from family.
Well, I brought back the Cambodian money.
Okay.
I want that, and which, you know, like my brother and sister went back to Cambodia. We should have took a picture of all of us, but we didn't. So.
Could you bring back some food for me? The food is amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
Man, I want to try that. Well, do you have any plans to go back at some point?
I would love to go back.
Okay.
But not soon. I'm still recovering from flying. It's so many hours I have to be on the airplane.
A lot of time.
Yes.
To be in that position.
Yeah.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Well, then, and you were able to see your father's grave over there.
Oh, so yes. That was amazing.
So that was on your sister's. There was a story about the land.
Oh, yeah. My sister had sold the land where my dad's grave was. So then my brother in Australia knew about it, so he went and bought it back because my dad's grave was on there. So, and they built like they built a rice factory literally right beside my dad's grave. So
it's marked, right?
Because you know, they need money.
Right, yeah, I get it.
Oh, yeah, there's no selfish. It wasn't.
I mean.
What was the most. She sent a picture. It was a beautiful grave, you know, like, yeah. But I mean, the fence went in the fence. It was like right beside it or whatever. But luckily the but what was the most, I guess if you got chills at seeing something over there, what was the sight that, when you saw it was, I guess, the most amazing to you?
Oh, I guess the, you know, when I walk at the temple, they have like, skeleton of the people got killed in Khmer Rouge, and they have where the building that they torture the people in and stuff. It's like the whole place used to be the murder scene, you know, everywhere.
There was a great documentary, I told you about it, after we did it the first time, and we started actually doing some research. It was a movie that was made, I think, in like 98 or 2000. And it was a documentary, and it included former guards and former inmates.
Oh, wow.
And they went back to the original facility where all this had happened. It's like 78, and they still had all the stuff there, like all the files, typewriters. I mean, it was like someone just abandoned it. And they had interviews with them respectively and together where they said, you know, do you feel bad about what you did? And they're like, well, here's the thing. We were systematically conditioned. I mean, it was just one of those things where it was just drilled into them, this is how things work now.
Yeah.
Like, this person, take care of them. Yeah. I mean, it's just boom.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they don't want to die, so they do it. You know?
Oh, yeah, and they'd have to stop prisoners from killing themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to keep people from getting pins because they could open up. I mean, it was insane what they had to do to keep them from killing themselves because they needed to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of kids, like my sister, they took her to have a duty, like, you know, they tell her, like, with those other kids, sit in front of the door, you know, to not let, not mean let, but don't let anybody get out of the that door or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like they make them work too, you know, like their parents to make them work, you know.
Yep.
Where'd you find that?
I was on YouTube.
Okay.
I'll send you a link. I mean, it's a documentary. Like I said, it's probably about at least 20 years ago now, but it was fascinating just to have that interface between captor and.
I know we had seen The Killing Fields, which is kind of like what I had seen, I guess, is the most.
The Killing Field is
pretty
what
much
it
the
is.
Be
yeah.
all end all.
Yeah.
Of
and I feel like I want to say it was in between 4 and 5 million that were killed total in that short little time. Just unreal.
And when that movie, The Killing Field, came out, you know, we all went to, like, I'm talking about, like, the whole Cambodian people, like, go to Atlanta to go watch that movie.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, what a poignant thing.
It was, like, it represent us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the worst part about it all is that Pol Pot died.
Well, I was about to say,
old
before
man, you know, just died of natural causes.
It was like 98 or something like that, 97. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, yes,
it made no sense.
Kill millions of people and die of old age.
And we never really talk about it at all. You know, it's always something else. But, yeah, that was... So, I guess everyone going to see that must have been something else, just to kind of see that entire story spelled out on a big screen.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, they take their kids and stuff to see. Like, that's what it was like, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, you know...
It's just different, especially...
You can't even imagine.
I mean, trying to explain to anyone, especially kids now, about just a life like that or some sort of experience.
People just don't know. Yeah.
That kind of brutality. Just,
right.
I mean, especially on such a widespread... Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm about out.
About out. Well, I hope you get to go back. Because, I mean, because I know going back for the first time, it's probably just a huge culture shock. And you're just sitting there just kind of in awe.
Yeah.
Just because, A, you're going all these places and you're just, you know. But now I think if you went back, I think you'd really have a little bit more, I don't want to say direction, but, I mean, you would.
Yeah,
you
know, you'd be prepared.
Yeah. You know what to kind of expect.
Yeah.
And you could kind of plan things.
But my sister just went back. The one that took me to Cambodia, she just went back, 2 months ago? And she went back so many times, so it's nothing because she take her kids back too, and they love it, you know?
Yeah.
They love going back to see how it is, and they have fun over there.
Yeah,
and all of them were born here. Your nieces were all born in America, but she was older than you. So, because I think she came with your dad. She was with your dad a couple of days behind you and your mom and Pip, right?
Yeah.
So she has more memories of the trek.
She was
or the escape is what it was.
Yeah.
She was like she said she was around maybe 12 years old, and she. She had to go work too, you know.
Yeah.
And my other sister was like maybe 9. They didn't let her go yet because she was still small. But when she turned 10, she had to go and work.
Yeah.
That's why my brother and I just stay at the house by ourselves or somebody else that unable to work, they watch us, you know. So.
Crazy.
Well, how was Christmas with you guys?
It was good. We had a good Christmas. Like I said, her Houston family came in, and then so we saw them Christmas Eve, and then some of them were coming over tomorrow night, and then we saw my family. My brother from Washington, D.C. came down, so it was good. We got the cold, her and I, but other than that, Santa was good to everybody.
Yeah.
So, I'm probably going to go home and get back in bed.
Yeah, I understand.
Kick off the last bit of this cold.
Yeah, get ready for the new year.
Yeah. So,
y'all been busy.
Yeah. Well, here it's crazy just because of the way the holidays falling on Wednesday.
That's weird.
Yeah.
We're having to get everything basically done on Monday.
Because
no one's delivering on
that
Wednesday.
That reminds me, I got to have a column here soon.
I know. I'm sitting here looking at what I got to fill in with Sunday.
I have to do at the last minute, too. I was like, what? New Year's Eve is tomorrow?
Heesh.
Yeah.
Well, so now that you have done your first podcast, I'm sure we can count you as a regular.
We're talking about gardening.
That's right.
Yeah, hoes mean garden.
I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what y'all got planned for the garden this year? Anything good?
I'm going to do more than, you know, I'm going to do more than this year.
This past year was bad. Where's the weather?
I mean, yeah, it was too hot.
Because Tank gave us the biggest garden. He comes and plows it. Yeah. And he plowed the biggest garden we'd ever had. And the weather didn't cooperate this year. Some years are like that, so. But we made up for it with deer in the freezer, so
yeah, that's
it's
right.
Funny how, you know, it's all, you know, it's you something always comes up, yeah.
So. Well, that's cool. Well, hey, y'all, thank you again. I appreciate you coming here, especially with, you know, our respected ailments right now.
That's right, and, yeah. You
know, it's a tough time of the year, but I'm glad we were able to get this done.
It needs to be told, and, yeah. I'm sure, you know, she, you know, there's lots of things left out or not remembered or whatever, but she came in and told it.
Yeah.
That's
thank
important.
Thank you for having me over here. Yeah, because I'll be forgetting what I'm saying on here.
We'll do a follow-up.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about stuff like this is once you like, it just triggers something else. You're like, oh, right.
We'll let her family tell her everything she got wrong.
Yeah. There you go. Cool.
Awesome. But thanks for having us.
All right.
Always
thanks,
a pleasure.
Thank you.